Welcome to Lebanon Presbyterian Church. It is so good to have all of you with us this Sunday morning as we worship the Lord. Listen to the words of Scripture. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my innermost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. Bow with me in prayer. Father, we thank You that we can come into Your presence this Lord's day. Be glorified through this worship service as we, sitting around our living rooms, praise Your name. Holy Spirit, we thank You that You're present and that You're working even through the vehicle of the internet. Lord Jesus, may You be lifted up so that people are drawn to You, that You be glorified. And we pray as You have taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You know, as we ask the Lord to forgive us for our debts, we find the Scripture gives us assurance in the work of the Lord Jesus. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 9 says this, Jesus did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but He entered the most holy place once for all with His own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. The blood of bulls and goats and the ash of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So, believer, in whom have you put your trust? Let's use the Apostles' Creed as we declare our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Bow with me in prayer. Father, we thank You that we can come to You as the body of Christ. We acknowledge our sins. We have asked You to forgive them. And now we come in the merit of Jesus alone. We thank You that He has opened the door for us to enter into the Holy of Holies. And we come asking You to minister to this, Your body of believers. Lord, there are ones who are sick and have cancer. Others that have great difficulties with this corona epidemic. We pray that You will guard us, that You will supply our needs, that You'll watch over our businesses, and Lord, that through this You will make Yourself glorious. We pray for our country. We especially ask that You'll guide our leaders in the decisions they make as far as when to open our country back up, when to allow businesses to open. All of these matters, give them Your wisdom. We also pray for the upcoming election and ask, Lord, that you'll guide as we go to the polls to elect a president, vice president, senators, and congressmen, and state and city leaders. Guide this selection. And Father, we pray that you'll watch over those who are serving our nation, our armed forces, as well as our policemen and firefighters. We pray that you'll keep them safe as they watch over us. And we most of all want to thank you that you yourself watch over us, that we are safe in your hands. And so we pray this because our Savior has secured it. In his name we pray. Amen. Take your Bible and turn with me to John chapter 17. We're going to look at verses 11 through 16. As we come to this passage, we return to the high priestly prayer of Jesus. It is the longest recorded prayer of the Lord Jesus. We have the privilege of stepping into the conversation between God and God. We have the intimate, passionate, clear requesting of God the Son to God the Father. We find that this prayer inaugurates the intercessory ministry of the Lord Jesus. The believers that Jesus prays for in this chapter are the 11 that are gathered with him in the upper room. But he is also praying for you. Jesus alone intercedes. Jesus alone faces this hour. Jesus alone acts as the high priest. He is the utterly capable intercessor. And so we turn to look at his prayer. Look at verse 11. This is the word of the Lord. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep them through your name, those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept. None of them is lost, except the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they're not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Pray with me. Father, we ask that you will use the scriptures to speak to our hearts. Minister to us as we consider how Jesus speaks to the Father for us. May our hearts be secure in his words and in his prayers. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the first part of verse 11, we find Jesus speaks as if Calvary is past. So certain is Calvary. In his thoughts, he's on the way to the Father. And in the sense, he is leaving his disciples behind in a wicked world. I want you to notice as he prays, he does not pray that they'll be rich and prosperous in the world, nor that they'll be free from COVID-19, cancer, old age, or death. He does not pray that they would be free from marginalization in the world, persecution, or martyrdom. He prays in reference to their souls and the building of the kingdom of God. When we look at this prayer, we find Jesus covers three categories. First, and what we'll look at today, he prays that they'll be kept from sin. This is verses 11 through 16. But then secondly, that they may be furnished for their task as his witnesses. You'll find he prays, beginning in verse 17, for their sanctification. He continues to pray that they'll be united as one. And then in verse 24, we find him concluding the rest of the chapter by praying that they'll be brought safely to heaven. Christ's intercession is focused on their current and future needs. His prayers are always pertinent. Our advocate with the Father is acquainted with all the particulars of our wants, our needs, our dangers and difficulties, and knows how to accommodate his intercession to each. Do you remember that when Satan asked to sift Peter, Jesus said, "I am praying for you." Just as Jesus knew how to pray for the particulars in Peter's life, so he knows how to pray for the particulars in our life. Jesus continues now and will persist in full earnest prayer before the throne of grace until he returns to us. As we look at these verses, I want you to notice first, Jesus prays for the saints' protection and perseverance. Notice verse 11, the second half. He says, "Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one even as we are one." Protection and preservation presumes danger. The Bible categorizes the three dangers that the Christian faces as the danger of the world, the danger of their sinful nature, and the danger of Satan and his cohorts. We find here that our own strength is impotent, but the wicked world is contrasted with the Holy Father. He prays, "Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name." The power of the latter is surely more than sufficient to offset the influence of the former. Jesus assured us of that back in John chapter 10, verses 27 through 30. Look at what he says. He says there, "My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand." You see, Jesus has protected us. But then he says this. He says, "My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." So here when he prays and he says, "Father, I want you to keep them safe," he's given us into the hands of the Father who is greater than all. He can surely keep us. No one can snatch believers out of the Father's hand. He asks the Father to stand guard over us, to keep us under his divine surveillance against whatever may harm us spiritually. He asks that we be kept in the Father's name, that is, the revelation of his eternal work of redemption. Back in the Old Testament, the name of God is, he is our salvation. Listen to Psalm 68, verse 19. He says, "Blessed be the Lord, who daily bears our burdens, the God who is our salvation." My friends, that's the name in which we are kept. Psalm 5, verse 11. "Let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you." And probably one of the most familiar Psalms is Psalm 121, where the psalmist says, "I lift up mine eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he watches over Israel, will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going both now and forevermore. Now notice in verse 11 at the end, the purpose of the keeping is in order that they may be one even as we are one. I don't believe Jesus is requesting that someday all denominations will become one mammoth denomination, because when he offered that prayer, there were no denominations. He's not praying that in some vague manner the essential oneness of the Father and the Son may be duplicated in the believer and himself. The meaning, as I see it, is that Jesus requests that the disciples will constantly be one with him and the Father in their stand against sin and Satan. Now, the question is, can there be a sure, infallible preservation of my soul? You find to assure us of our eternal preservation, Jesus says in the next verse, "While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me." During his entire ministry, Jesus fulfilled the role of the good shepherd who watches over his sheep. The results and assurance for my protection is in that 12th verse. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Well, Judas's failure to find life would raise questions for the disciples about Jesus' ability to protect them. If Jesus protects them, why was Judas falling away into destruction? I believe Jesus points to two explanations for what happened to Judas. The first is Judas's betrayal fulfilled the prophecy of Scripture. Psalm 41 verse 9 is quoted. "Even my closest friends whom I trusted, he who shares my bread has lifted up his heel against me." Prophecy is being fulfilled. But then secondly, it speaks of Judas's own character. As the NIV says, the one doomed to destruction, this statement reflects and expresses Judas's destiny. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, describes all men as sons of disobedience. Adam's seed is described in terms of actions that flow from an inner sinful disposition. So also here, the reference describes the destiny and of destruction for all Adam's descendants. Romans chapter 5, in verse 17, Paul says, "By the transgression of one man, death reigned through the one man." He goes on in verse 18 to say the results of one transgression was condemnation for all men. Do you know? The scripture describes us as fallen in sin, and our destiny is destruction. Judas had heard the words and seen the deeds and even been the recipient of special signs of love from Jesus. But in his heart, he didn't receive with humility, faith, and obedience the one sent from the Father. When one remains in their disobedience and unbelief, one is left only to destruction. Now, my friends, those listening, this is a wake-up call to all who come from Christian homes and those who have grown up in the church. We have been recipients of the special signs of love from Jesus. It is a dangerous thing to ignore or reject the witness of God's grace in our lives. There's only the prospect and fearful certainty of hell. Do not die without settling matters with the Savior. If you have not settled this matter, I'd like to ask you to turn off this recording and find some place quiet to get things right with the Savior. But on the other hand, the disciples have confidence because this same offer was made to them. They've responded. They've received it. Jesus is saying these things in the world, in the arena of conflict, so that the disciples, he says in verse 13, may have the full measure of his joy in themselves. Notice that the purpose of keeping them, back in verse 11, is that they might be one with the Father as he is. That is, one in the battle against sin. But now the second purpose of keeping is in order that the full measure of his joy may be in them. This joy comes from the assurance of salvation, an intimate communion with Jesus, and the protection of the Holy Father. That joy is secure for believers. It is the second purpose of his keeping. But now I'd like for you to look at the essentials of the keeping of the Father. Notice, secondly, his request is the saints will be protected from the world. Look at verse 14. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. There were two ways of their being delivered from the world. You find Jesus discounts the first by saying in verse 15, I don't want you to take them out of the world. That would have preserved them and kept them. But notice Jesus here puts them under the divine protection of his Holy Father. This prayer provides the wonderful preservation of the gospel ministry and the gospel church in the midst of a persecuting world. God had not graciously kept up both, the church would have been extinguished in the first century. But notice, secondly, Jesus not only prays that God will keep them under divine protection, but secondly, he puts them under divine oversight, that they would not run away from their duties, nor be led aside by the treachery of their own heart. Keep them, Jesus prays, in their integrity. Keep them disciples. Keep them close to their duty. I like what Matthew Henry said, and I quote, "We don't need God's power only to put us into a state of grace, but to keep us in it." Isn't that true? This is the protection that Jesus asked his Father for. Protect them while they're in the world and from the world. But then notice, secondly, Jesus prays that they be kept from the evil one and out of evil. Look at verse 15. He says, "My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one." John will later say in his little epistle, 1 John 5:19, the whole world is under the control of the evil one. Paul writes about this control in the second chapter of Ephesians, where he says, "Once you followed the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit that is now at work in those who are disobedient." This is the evil one. The reality of his rule and work is immense. Jesus prays for four things. The first thing is he prays, keep them from the evil one, the devil, and all his instruments. He wants the Father to keep them from Satan as tempter, that he might not sift them and their faith might not fail. He prays, keep them from Satan as the liar, that they might not be deceived. Keep them from him as a destroyer, that he might not drive them to despair. The second thing Jesus is praying is, Father, keep them from the evil thing, that is sin, from everything that looks like it or leads to it. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 13:7, keep them that they may do no evil. Father, keep them from the evil one and all his instruments, from the evil thing, that is sin, but then thirdly, keep them from the fruit an evil world bears in despair, hopelessness, and travail. Think of what the world would be like if there were no sin. Can you imagine something like that? But then, look at the world as it is. Do you see all the troubles, despair, all the evil that sin has brought into this world? Jesus prays that the saints will be guarded from such heartache. We may not be kept from emptiness sin produces, but in the midst of it, we can experience the blessings of heaven itself. Jesus is praying, Father, keep them from the evil one, the devil, and his instruments. Keep them from the evil thing, that is sin, and everything that looks like it or produces it. Keep them from the fruit an evil world bears in despair, hopelessness, and travail. But then thirdly, not necessarily in this text, but you find Jesus teaches us to pray. And he says, we need to pray daily, deliver us from evil. That should be our prayer. Guard us, Father, for the Son has placed us in your hands. Our hope in the Father's protection is found and expressed very clearly in Psalm 91. Listen to the psalm. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. As the psalmist says in Psalm 125, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people both now and forevermore. He protects us. I remember my father, as he faced very serious surgery, told me that a nurse came in and was saying, I hope you do well in the surgery. And my father looked at her and said, if I die on the surgery table, it will be better for me because I know I'm going to the Father. But if I survive the surgery and wake up back here and I see you, I will be blessed, because I know I'll continue life with the Lord Jesus by my side. Do you have that assurance that you are protected? Jesus prays for your preservation, that the Father will keep you. Be blessed by his promises. Bow with me in prayer. Father, we thank you that the Lord Jesus has placed us into your hands, and that you watch over us. We thank you for his words that says, my Father is greater than all. No one can snatch us out of his hands. We rest in the surety of your preservation. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the one who has given us to the Father. And so we give our thanks in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's sing together, How Firm a Foundation.
How firm a you saints of the Lord is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more shall he say than to you he has said, to you for refuge to Jesus have fled. Fear not, I am with you, oh, be not dismayed, for I am your God, and will still give you aid. I'll strengthen you, help you, and cause you to stand upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. When through fiery trials your pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient be your supply. The flame shall not hurt you, only design your dross to consume and your gold to refine. The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never forsake.
Let's bow for the benediction. Benediction is from Jude. To him who is able to keep you from falling, and who is able to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forever. Amen. Go in the preserving power of God himself. Amen.